Hey man, let's look around the league, look around football in general, and get into all the hot hitting topics that football fans are talking about out there. You want to talk about the good or the bad first?
Well, it's all a matter of perspective, my friend. So why don't you talk and I'll tell you.
Okay. Here's the bad. Let's start with the bad. We'll go to the good. Trevor Lawrence. What's going on with Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville? A lot of people putting the clip out there. He's seeing ghosts in the pocket. It's a lot of people clowning him. He spins out of nothing. The pocket. I mean, look, I'm not the one standing back there. I'm sure things get wild, but he's got a pretty nice pocket, and all of a sudden he does a spin move for no reason before
Really?
taking the sack. And I mean, once your confidence is shaken, how do you get it back, man?
Brother, that's everything in life, not just football. And so I have to see the clip, in order to really, but like he spun out of a beautiful pocket into a sack. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, pretty much. Instead of taking the first option or even the second option and then, spinning out of there. But nobody's even flashing in front of them. I mean, but that's just it's just the uncomfortability of them back there. But here's a guy who just got the big new contract. He's getting paid like that. I mean, they can't really cut and run with him, but at the same time, like I said, like how do you get it back? Just staying in that situation. It seems to me that's the kind of thing a lot of times you got to go and find something new.
Then, yeah. I mean, fortunately, like confidence is literally the only thing I ever had. I didn't have height, I didn't have weight, I didn't have speed. So I don't know. I don't, that's something that I would need help if that were to happen to me. And I think that's what we're talking about. Like, how do you, like, there's like Russ has had coaches, like mental coaches to help him. Just kind of have that stoic mindset or mentality that no matter what comes up my way, I can conquer it. And but what are you talking about? This is the face of your franchise. Like, I don't know what you do, man. Like, that's tough. I think you got a hell of a running back in ETN. I think you hand him the ball more is what you really do until Trevor finds his way out of the slump, right? Like baseball, they go through slumps. It's just very noticeable if it's a quarterback, right? Especially if you're awarded the big contract. So, man, I feel for him, man. It's end of the day, we're all trying to do our best. But this was also why when he came out of college, I didn't know. I'm not gonna say, oh, I knew he wasn't gonna be good. I said, I don't know how good he is yet because, okay, he's obviously we're all the man in high school. All right, I don't think he ever lost a game. He had like four state titles, something crazy like that. Goes to Clemson where they had a ton of talent, and I think they win the whole thing his freshman year. So it was just like, God, this guy can't miss. And I feel like that's pretty much the report on him coming out of college. But they were stacked, and I think this is what I tell a lot of kids that have hit in the portal lately. It's like, are you challenging yourself or are you running from competition? Because if you're running from competition, you're in trouble. Like, there's always going to be competition. And so he's hitting his first ever real adversity, right? And if you didn't really have, like, you won everywhere, like kind of Bryce Young, let's look at that. Like, the man in high school could have went anywhere, goes to Bama, a lot of talent around him, wins the Heisman. This is his first real adversity. And you don't want to be in the NFL when adversity finally hits, right?
You need to be playing loose. That's for sure. You can't be successful if you're playing tight. I try to tell the kids on the baseball team all the time, you got to be relaxed. You got to be smooth. I mean, I've had auditions I've gone into where I don't feel like myself and I don't feel very confident. I know how that goes. My question is just, how do you get it back? It's different for everybody. But maybe more preparation. But then again, sometimes because you're not performing well, that you think more preparation is going to be the answer, but then preparing more sometimes can make you even tighter. So,
True. Like,
what advice would you give to him?
I mean, no, it's the same thing as like there's a lot of quarterbacks that they come off the bench, didn't get many reps, and they just light it up. Fitz was that way. He comes off the bench, you're in trouble because he's gonna put up 300 yards in the half and a couple touchdowns. And then, but then when he got the chance to start, he might've overthought some things, and he's still a hell of a quarterback, but I'm just saying it's just, it was different. And we, you know, I've seen a couple guys thrive in that other role where the expectations weren't placed at their shoulders. Like the season rides on his arm. Right. And then he comes in and just throws for fucking 1,000 yards in two games. So like I said, I don't have an answer for you, brother. What did you do in the acting world? You just said you had some bits you didn't feel like yourself. What did you do?
I don't know if I've ever gotten it back. I don't
give
know.
Give us an example.
It's a case by case situation, I think. And so, I mean, for me, I think, and for actors, hopefully there's that next audition and the next time that you can perform. And so you just have to go into that one differently than you went into the last one. And so I think maybe just like in sports, you just kind of need those, a little win here and there to start just building it back up again. But I think just like in sports, there, hopefully there's a next meeting, you know, there's something coming the next day. Like athletes talk about all the time, they want to just turn the page and get on to the next game. But sometimes in this situation for Lawrence, it's like that next game is on the same team, same coaches, you're in the same situation. So it's gotta be hard to sort of flip that script for him.
You know, that's a good point. I just take it to when I wasn't starting, I just looked in the mirror and like, okay, I feel like I'm balling. Like my teammates are telling me I'm balling and coach has me third on the depth chart. Like I'm not even the backup. I'm the backup's backup. And so it's like, what the hell, man? But once that opportunity came, I was ready. And like, and I told everybody I was ready, but you know, you don't, and that's the hard thing with football. You don't ever sometimes even get that chance. Like Glover was talking about.
Yeah.
So I just, how I always took it was like, all right, instead of trying to make more plays, make less errors, right? Yeah. Clean up some of the things that, you know, because there was always guys that were just trying to get more interceptions or more. I was trying to get more forced fumbles. Interceptions, you can't control. Like if the quarterback doesn't want to look your way because you are covering well, then, but every time you make a tackle, that's an opportunity to separate the ball from the, you know, the running back, and that changes games. And so I think that's really what led to my success. So for Trevor, what would that equate to? Just no interceptions, even sacks, like get rid of the ball, like the little things like that, throwing it away, you know. And it's tough if you're in the pocket, because it better be across the line of scrimmage. Otherwise it's intentional grounding. So, but I mean, yeah, just start throwing it at their feet if they're covered so well that, you know, you don't see anybody open. I don't know. It's the little things and those details that can just erase a sack, which puts you so far behind the yard markers, and this changes everything in the offensive coordinator's mind. So now it's not just affecting Trevor, it's affecting the offensive coordinator and the team.
From one quarterback to another, Jaden Daniels, the rookie, started off slow first 2 weeks, but man, he lit it up in week three, and everybody's ready to anoint this guy the offensive rookie of the year, I think, after that performance. I know you had to be watching the Commanders because of Bobby Wagner, but did you catch Daniels?
I didn't. I was up and down a flight of stairs at Newcastle Golf Course because I was at the Cliff Averill Family Foundation, the 11th year. Shout out to Cliff and them. Great work they do. Awesome night. But yeah, I would just run up and down, and I did see one pass where, you know, he just took a hit just right on the chin, flush, right? And yeah, and he still just stood tall, hung tough, and made and delivered a strike. That's, you know, when I look at quarterbacks, especially when I evaluate them, I'm like, dude, how tough are they? Not just physically, but mentally, right? That's what I always look for.
Yeah. Sticking with quarterbacks, I think it's an all quarterbacks look around the league. How about these quitters in college, man? What's with this kid at UNLV? He's quitting. His NIL deal isn't quite what he wanted it to be, or the check didn't come through on time, so he said, I'm out. And UNLV to this point is 3-0. What would you say about your starting quarterback deciding to sit out the rest of the year, especially with your team doing so well and because of NIL issues?
It's a business, man. If the check ain't there, I ain't playing. And that's the day and age we're in. right? So I could sit here and be like, oh, well, with 3-0, I'd still play. I wouldn't leave my brothers. I don't know. People are making business decisions now. And if he held up his end of the bargain and they did not, this ain't on him to go back out there for whatever they agreed upon, right? I kind of congratulate the kid and wish him well wherever he goes next.
Yeah. Somebody said the word business decisions. I think it was a Minnesota Viking. We could look it up post game, talking about a decision on trying to make tackles or whatever, but they said business decisions out loud, which you don't usually hear from players. And I don't know if this was on the air or off the air, but like, I mean, it's a different day and age in the NFL, isn't it? Or, you know, Glover kind of talked about guys who don't really want to be there or sort of, or whatever. But I mean, I don't know, as a fan, I don't like it. I want guys going as hard as they can all the time, but I do understand it as a fan, but I don't like it as a fan.
No, and the NFL is bullshit. If you're not giving it everything you have, you're not just hurting yourself, you're hurting the team. Right. But, you know, here in particular with the college kid, yeah. Like, you know, so I don't know who said business decision, but if, yeah, that term means in the NFL, you know, this ain't our day, or, you know, I'm not giving everything I have. So, yeah, that's an ugly term. Now in college, as I was referencing it, it's like, hey,
right.
They are now professional players. Right. Mm-hmm. And this situation, it wasn't him like, oh, you know, I don't want to be here for my team. You guys lied to me. And so I'm not, you know, binded to this by contract because you guys, you know, didn't honor the contract.
Yeah, no, I hear you. They did a thing. Somebody posted a thing where they were having rookies look at like 90s stuff and tell them what it was. So they're holding a VHS tape, and guys didn't know what a VHS tape was. They couldn't figure out what a floppy disk was while they were holding that. Some guys took a cassette, you know, the old plastic cassettes, and they're like, is this a CD? What's going on, Lofa? Our time is through, maybe.
Those are actually like good, you know, I enjoy those ones, those bits.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of bits, we got Kenny McIntosh about to sit down. So let's go on to that.
Well, no.
You think he's ever seen the program?
Wait a minute. We're going to talk about one more across the league thing.
Oh, okay.
Alex Singleton, Denver Broncos, 9 tackles and interception against us week 1. The guy that had a Montana State, just a savage. This guy tore his ACL in the first quarter last week. And he went 3 more quarters, played the whole game, every defensive snap, and he led them in tackles. That is, wow. I can't even put into words. Like, that's the toughest shit I've ever heard in terms of a guy laying out, not making a business decision. He easily could have went to the side and been like, something's not right. And, you know, I'm definitely going to hit him up and be like, yo, dude, did you know how bad you did, you know, the damage you did to your knee? Because that's unbelievable that he could do. I tried to do that with my pec the first time. So I tore it off the arm because it inserts here, right? And up to the clavicle, right? So I tore this one and I was like, what the hell was that? And so I was like, whatever. There's 2 minutes left in the half. We'll figure it out at halftime. I go like 3 more plays and someone hits my shoulder and then my pec rips right down the middle. And I was like, okay, I think I'm done.
Yeah.
I wanted to be out there, but I was like, I don't think I'm helping the team at this point. And so did the old head tap when you see a guy head tap
with the other arm.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I looked at Heater. I was like, you kid, you're in.
That's it for me. I'm off.
Oh man. But yeah, dude, that's unbelievable what he was able to do. And hope the surgery goes well, speedy recovery, because he's got a lot of ball left to play.
Yeah. Like I said, Kenny McIntosh is going to be sitting down. And so let's do that. EpicSeats.com, great sponsor. Check them out. Whether you're buying or selling seats, use EpicSeats.com. Great events coming up in Seattle on October 1st. The War on Drugs is a band, and they're going to be playing. I love that band. October 4th, Weezer's coming to town. October 11th, Weezer. There's NBA preseason. Clippers v. Trailblazers. NBA in Seattle, Lofa.
I like that.
Check it out, everybody. Also, October 29th, Maggie Rogers, and of course, tons of Kraken games coming up. It's epicseats.com, everybody. Let them know that we sent you, epicseats.com. Also, hey, we're speaking of the running game, but let's talk about the air. Go with the throw with Delta Airlines. Go to 12status.com. If you're not signed up for 12 status, what the hell is wrong with you? 12status.com. It's the easiest thing in the world to sign up for. It takes less than a minute, and you get one Delta Sky Mile for every yard the Seahawks throw for this football season and every football season, as long as they keep this promo going, of course. It's Delta.com, the greatest airline in the world, and 12status.com, the greatest airline promotion in the history of mankind. Check them out. Hey, Kenny, how you doing? You got us?
Yeah, I'm good. How y'all doing?
Hey, we're good, man.
Fresh braids.
Yo, thanks for sitting down, man.
Done again, man.
Does it?
It's been a little while. I ain't even got them put
up right
now.
Looks nice here, man.
I appreciate it, though. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for taking the time, man. We're big fans over here. You were my preseason MVP for the team. And so getting to chat with you is a real pleasure. Thank you.
I appreciate you for having me. Thank you.
What's the mood in the building right now? What's the vibe around the team? 3-0, got to be feeling good.
Definitely feeling good, but we're just trying to, you know, get better. We all started this thing by building a foundation early on, you know, with, you know, Coach Mike starting fresh here and stuff like that. So we just want to continue to grow on those things, you know, stay on the same path that we, you know, first started with. So that's all. Vibe's definitely good on the locker room.
How you feeling about going on the road? What are the differences between getting ready for a game on the road versus at home?
Man, you gotta definitely deal with the crowd noises and stuff like that. I know teams gotta definitely prepare for it when they come in here to see the 12s, because they call the 12s for a reason, man. Because they out there screaming, and you gotta have that in the back of your head. You know, just going to somebody else's home, man, you never know what to expect. They might come out with something different than what they've been showing all season, stuff like that. So you gotta dial in the little things like that. Watch film, man. You know, learn your opponent. That's all.
Yeah, but they got to be ready for you guys too, man. This running back room is stacked. You and K9 and Sharps. I mean, talk about the talent in that room.
Man, there's so much talent in it. And it's like that since going to Georgia, man. It's always been like that. And it's a brotherhood. It brings us better together, closer together, actually, man. We want to see each other win, succeed. When I'm out there, man, I can hear K9. I want to say Zach not much of a talker, though, really. But Zach talked to me when I come to him on the sideline. But K9 definitely screaming out there on the sideline. I mean, on the sideline, talking to me out there on the field, just to give me that confidence, that energy, or that voice in the back of my head to let me know that, you know, I'm prepared my whole life for this. And this is the moment I've been waiting for, and I'm finally here. So I'll take advantage of it. So definitely, man, brotherhood, I would say.
You brought it up, so I want to go there. Let's go to the running back room in Georgia. Absolutely stacked. Who was finding the talent? Because I've noticed trends across colleges that just put out one position group specifically that always dominate. And Georgia's been that, you know, for a while at running back.
Yes, sir. So I'll definitely say Dale McGee. He's not there anymore. He's the head coach at Georgia State, I want to say. But when he was there, he was a great recruiter. Came and visited me multiple times in high school and stuff like that, built a relationship early on. But it was me actually coming to Georgia to see it for myself and getting to talk with the O-linemen, getting to see the O-linemen up in person. Definitely something I wanted to be a part of. And I definitely thought that we was able to go far with the running backs being able to, I mean, they committed there and that was already there.
Well,
I thought that
So with Swift, mm-hmm. Zamir White, right? Yep. You, and then there's
James
one
Cook.
More, right?
James Cook.
I forget about James Cook, man. That didn't, you know, deter you from wanting to go there?
I was the only one that committed 2019, man. Nah, I wanted to do that. That's what I wanted to. Growing up in Florida, man, that's all. It's competition down there, man. We're not scared. We're not running from no competition, none of that. So I knew it was going to get me better. That's all. You know, it was no negative in it going there to play with them boys. So
yeah.
Definitely
awesome.
Wanted to take advantage of that.
I want to know more about your background and growing up in Florida. I mean, mm-hmm. like just your background and how you got into football and who inspired you to pursue it.
So I got five brothers, five sisters. I'm the youngest. My dad played running back as well. I got a brother that played running back and the one that played DN. Don't ask me how he got to get his 6'5". He's 6'6", like 3 something. Don't ask me how he got that big. So, my dad is known for having a lot of twins, so he was supposed to have another twin as well. So, but anyway, long story short, we all grew up playing football because my dad, you know, growing up catching the ball in the house, stuff like that, fell in love with it at a young age. Ended up getting the name Blueprint at a young age just because, I guess, you know, they seen the all the positions I was playing out there on the field, offense, defense, and doing it at a high level. So I just took that with me on the, you know, middle school, high school, college. But what really made me go out there and play football, I'll say my dad, man. My dad definitely always been there in my life. Always definitely preached the game in me. Watching the Dallas Cowboys, growing up watching, that's his favorite team. So it ended up becoming my favorite team, man. So just having that in the household every day, man. Waking up and just seeing the football on every Sunday and just watching my brothers going to their games and their 707 things, just being young and soaking it all in at a young age, man, really what got me here.
How about your football role models, though? Who did you watch in the NFL that you might have even modeled your game after? Any Seahawks running backs?
I'd be lying if I say any Seahawks running backs. I definitely watched a few of them, but nah, I wouldn't say I really dialed into it. Emmitt Smith, like I said, my dad's a Cowboys guy, man. So I grew up watching straight Cowboys in the household, but definitely Emmitt. Definitely, as I got older, looked closer to watch Todd Gurley. I fell in love with Todd Gurley game, man. How big he was and explosive. Le'Veon Bell was another one I liked. Just watching how his weight transformation, man. He on the diet he's been on or everything he's been doing, man. Just to come down from, I think at Michigan State, he was like 245 or something like that, big and still running like that, you know what I'm saying? So just watching them guys and seeing how he was able to transform. And because I was big as well, went at Georgia. I went to Georgia like 220. I'm not 220 now though, 210. But losing that weight and stuff like that, you know, buying in on my diet and stuff was something that I fell in love with.
Right on. Do you have, can you give us a Kennedy Pola impersonation? Because that's an uncle to me, right? I've known him going back to SC.
What type of impression you want? Because when he's happy, angry, what do you want? Let me see if I can think of one, man. Because
I know he's gotten on you, so you could go anywhere you want with this one. But I know he's shown love, too, because it's tough love sometimes.
Yeah, definitely, man. But I could – it's just one always come to my mind when you messed up with something and he's getting on you like that. He'll just stare at you for a little minute and just – I guess he's thinking about what he's going to say or something, but say you're running off the field and he's just watching, he's just looking at you like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Hey, Kenny, I know we have you on limited time here. You guys got a busy week. So I'm going to jump straight to our rapid fire list of questions. We started doing this last week with Kobe. Are you ready? I got 12 questions and 2 minutes on the clock. Let's really get to know you here. All right.
Let's do it.
Do you collect anything? Question number one.
No.
Do you put ketchup on a hot dog?
Yes.
Do aliens exist?
No.
Pearl Jam or Nirvana?
Nirvana.
Okay, number five. Can you count to 10 in a random order?
8, 7, 6, 5, 1, 2. Mm-hmm. That's a crazy question right there.
Thank you.
I mean, I get it backwards, but you know, I want to try to.
Question number six. Oh, we're running out of time. What is your guilty pleasure snack? What do you pig out on?
Nutty Butters.
Oh, hell yeah. How many tattoos?
One.
Pancakes, waffles, or French toast?
Pancakes.
Number 10, what was the last regular job you had?
Didn't have one.
Number 11, what other sports do you play?
I don't play any other sports but football.
Hell yeah.
Wow. Oh, good, man. I get it. I can get it now. Do a little song. But,
and number 12, what's your favorite fruit?
Oh, man, pineapples or mangoes. I got to go with both of them, man, because I haven't still decided either.
Delicious. Delicious either way. Man, thank you so much for stopping by. The Blueprint, everybody, sitting down. Hey, last thing. Will you put your hand up? Put your hands in the middle. Kenny, will you break us down as if we're in the running back huddle to end this show?
Okay. So, well, first of all, we down low with it. We got a little swag.
Oh,
okay. We down low.
Oh, I love that.
We down low. You know, I'm there with you. Want to talk that day? They say something a little inspiring. So if I was up to say something, I'd be like, RB's on me, RB's on three, 1, 2, 3. But then we slide out. So you got to
You see what I'm saying? You see me a little bit, you slide out of it like that. Some little
Let me get close.
That's a little, actually, we got that from KP, man. KP brought that here. So we, RBs on me, RBs on three. One, two, three.
RBs.
Yeah, RBs like that. Yeah.